Snow.
It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Baba boo. A little bit of snow. Not a, you know.
It's pretty today. It's a dusting.
Yeah, it's a dusting of snow.
Although, hail, yes. Did you get the hail over the weekend?
Not terribly. Just a little bit. Just a little touch of hail.
I can't believe there was just some weird and wacky weathers going on that Tom Skilling did not warn me about.
Right.
There were tornadoes in central Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I know, thunder snow, but this was a thunderstorm, and then all of a sudden it started hailing.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, December wanted to make itself known.
Yeah, and it did. So congratulations, December. We're just a few days in, and we're waving the white flag.
I don't care.
The snowy white flag.
Is it that bad?
No,
it's pretty.
Actually, this time of year, I kind of want it to be like this for the month of December. Then January, I wouldn't mind if it became 70. I'd be fine with that and stayed that way.
How do we make that happen?
I don't. There's a giant thermostat on the Hancock that you gotta. It's right on the side of the building.
It's not called that anymore. No, it's just 875 North Michigan Avenue.
They don't call it that, do they? Did they change it?
To 875?
Sears Tower is no longer Sears Tower.
That's Willis.
Of course, that's Willis.
Hancock is just an address.
It's just an address.
I think. Bertrand, do you know?
It doesn't have a name yet. They're still hoping to sell the
get
rights,
naming rights.
It's the Hancock.
Leffapalooza. Come on, who do I send that to?
We'll figure it out. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This is the show. It's Monday. It's our last Monday show of the year. Did you know that?
No.
It's true. I mean, there will be Mondays between now and the end of the year, but you and I are not invited. Other things will happen here at the station.
Are you off next Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, so am I.
Yeah.
Monday.
Of all the stories about President Bush that I heard over the weekend, the most interesting to me, and I had no idea that this was the case. Did you know that he, George Bush, original
H-W.
Recipe, was the captain of the first baseball team, the Yale baseball team, to play in the College World Series?
No.
I had never heard that before. And when I heard it on a television show, and I said, well, they're wrong. I don't think that's even close to true. The part that I knew he loved baseball, he was one of the owners of the Texas Rangers for a while. His family owned the Texas Rangers. So I knew there was a love of baseball, and I knew at some point he played baseball, but I didn't know he played college level, that he was the captain of the team, or that he was part of the first World Series, College World Series. No idea whatsoever.
He seemed like such an amazing man. Politically, I was not in cahoots with him.
Yeah.
But I respected him, and he and Barbara had such a love story.
Here's another fun fact that I didn't know until this weekend. Of all the presidents of the United States, he and his wife Barbara had the longest lasting marriage.
That's pretty sweet.
Didn't know that.
And she just passed away, what, like 8 months ago or something?
Yeah.
Ah, it's sad.
It is sad, and I'm with you. Politically, I was extremely different from Mr. Bush, but he seemed to be, for the most
part,
a nice guy, an upstanding citizen. I read the letter that he left. You know, the president always leaves a letter for the next oncoming president.
Think that'll happen here?
Oh, that is a great question. Oh, is that a great question?
Loser.
I wonder. I wonder.
But yes, I didn't mean to interrupt
No.
you. The letter that
no,
he wrote to Bill Clinton.
That's a more interesting path, because that's the way it works, is the president puts a little letter in the drawer of what to expect, and evidently
and if you ever need my help,
I'm around.
Yeah.
And evidently his to Bill Clinton was quite the letter. I read a little bit of it, and it's, you know, it's a very warm, wonderful, you know, you've got an incredible job ahead of you. Good luck. I'm here if you need me, that kind of thing.
You are now our president.
Right.
Your success means the country's success.
Right.
So we want you to succeed.
Yeah.
He has a class act.
All nice things. All very nice things. But now all my brain will focus on is, will Mr. Trump write a letter that's similar, if at all?
What if he writes it to himself?
I was going to say, and if he wins re-election,
right.
Don, first day of the second term, going, no, there's a note I wrote to myself.
We did it, bigly.
For some reason, I picture his letter written on a magic slate. I don't know why.
The picture that got me was Sully, the service dog that former President Bush had laying by the flag-draped casket.
Yeah.
Boy, did I lose it.
Yeah.
I made my kids look at it, too, and they're like, why do you show us that? That's so sad.
And his looked sad. His dog had a look of sadness in his eyes.
Well,
didn't
it was
he?
A service dog.
Yes.
Right? And so, what was the caption? Mission complete.
Yeah. That's very nice. Very,
so
very
sweet.
Nice. I remember a time when I was a kid, and I can't remember which president it was who died, but our teacher pointed out that it was very rare. No, I got to remember which president it was. There were no other living presidents. Like in our lifetime, we've had a time where there were five living presidents recently. But at that particular moment, I'm trying to think of who would have been the president.
Well,
then.
It would have had to have been Nixon. Would have had to have been the president.
Because all previous presidents had died during Richard Nixon's.
And Eisenhower and Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
it. Well, I don't know when Lyndon Johnson died. But otherwise, Nixon was alive for. There was always another living former president during Nixon's, after Nixon, I think.
Oh, was there? Okay.
Well.
I have to do better research because I can't remember who it would have been now. I know I was in grade school and the teacher pointed out that in other years, presidents had other presidents that they could confer with. If there was some sort of a question, they go, well, there's three other guys that were presidents. I'll give one of them a call. But at that particular moment, that was impossible. But remember that picture that was out a year or so ago of all the presidents together?
Yeah.
That was at Barbara Bush's funeral, wasn't it? I think
you're right.
Because the only living president that wasn't there was the current president, and he sent his wife. But all the other presidents were there.
Yeah. That was wild to see.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have a lot more show for you. I'm in. Zombies?
I missed my zombies last night. I didn't have anything to do.
Yeah, Walking Dead was not on last night. Steve, by the way, was correct. I had mentioned before that as a child, our teacher pointed out that current president was the only living president. And Steve, it was Richard Nixon, right?
Right, because Truman died in 72 and LBJ died in
73.
73, of course, Kennedy was dead.
Yeah.
And
all previous presidents.
Right, that would go all the way back to Roosevelt.
Yep. A texter wants to know if we here at WGN are allowed to play the song Baby It's Cold Outside. And the reason is that other media outlets are deciding, there was one in particular, a Cleveland radio station, that they will no longer be playing that song. What are your thoughts? Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? If you listen to the lyrics of Baby It's Cold Outside, they're a little bit misogynistic. Would you agree?
Quite a bit.
Just a little bit. Despite the fine work of Dean Martin and whichever woman was near the studio at the time when they recorded it, there's several different versions of the song.
Why do you think they're misogynistic?
It's kind of a guy tricking a woman into staying overnight at his house, isn't it?
And she's toying with him, too.
There's that.
She's playing with him. I mean, I think said this on John's show, that you could listen to it in a way that where she has all the power in that conversation.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, think of it. Come on, stay overnight. Well, you know, I don't think so.
There is a playfulness to their back and forth.
Right.
Just play a little bit of Baby It's Cold Outside.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
away. But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand.
Nah, this is tough because I really do like this song, but when you stop and analyze it,
I'm fine with
it's slightly problematic. You don't think it's even a little bit problematic?
If we pick apart every song that's ever been written.
Yeah. I guess you could find something in almost anything, couldn't you?
And you know what? Quite honestly, maybe we've been in this position where we should go home, but we don't want to, and we're talking out loud.
Does this element, in my head, this makes sense, but you tell me, because maybe it doesn't make sense. I think maybe when this song was written, and I don't know the exact year, sometime in the 40s, my guess would be.
Yes,
right?
It was, yes.
Is it in the 40s? It has the everything about the song smacks of the 1940s. So my thought is that maybe at the time, like almost anything that we've debated on the show of, does that still fly today? Maybe it was slightly more acceptable, certainly slightly more dangerous, because it is a guy trying to convince a woman who's at his place, hey, stay the night. It's much better for everybody if you stay. It's so cold and snowy outside. No good could come of this. Stay here.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, in the 40s, that was scandalous, right?
It's not the 40s.
No, I know it's not.
Temperature-wise.
It almost is again.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, it was written in 1944 by Frank Loesser and recorded by a gazillion
people.
Louis Armstrong and Velma Middleton, the first one,
yeah,
in 1951. And then, as you mentioned, Dino...
Martin did several versions of it. I've heard him do this song with several different women over the years.
Ray Charles and Betty Carter. Ann Margaret did it a couple times. Stephen Eady, of course.
Stephen Eady.
That's the one I probably remember.
There's a Colby Calais version of it that I've heard a couple times. It's really good. And in that version of it, to Steve's point, it's her. It's the woman who seems to be the one who's, if not initiating it, making it sound as though it's a much better idea.
I just think, I just play it. It's a great song.
So is this a product of, because now, I mean, we're making advances where we're realizing that there are certain things that are inappropriate. Is this a victim or is this the opposite? Is this a good thing? Like, if you heard this, if you turned on your car this time of year and this song was on, would it make
you
angry?
I'd sing along with it. I'd sing both parts.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me angry.
What about the Lou and Lindsay version?
I like that one.
Me too. Me too.
I think that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Can we play it?
I'm surprised.
The whole thing? All day? All night?
No, you can't do that. Sound like The Light. Would be awful. I can see where people would be upset, and I feel like I should be more upset, but I'm not. Does that make sense? I mean, I understand what's behind it and where people could say that's a man who's trying to trick a woman into staying at his apartment. I can kind of see that, but it's just so melodic, Wendy.
It is melodic.
I get caught up in the melody.
She can say no.
Then you got a quick song.
All right, I guess.
You really should stay. Oh. I got to go. The end of the song. And then Dean Martin's just left in a lurch.
Baby, my Uber's
you
outside.
You rang.
Not that lurch. What, Steve?
I said, baby, my Uber's outside.
Baby, my Uber's outside. An updated version of it.
I just, please, people. Do we all just have to go to Dominic the Donkey?
No. That's far more upsetting than Baby, It's Cold Outside. E-aw, e-aw.
I love that song. Although I'm half Italian and grew up with an Italian culture in my family, and I never heard this song till fairly recently.
When I was at the Light, we played this every hour. Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
I think a donkey was harmed in the writing of that song.
Several donkeys were harmed. Jingety jing.
I honestly...
It's the only song ever in history that uses the words jingety jing. Hey, jingety jing. There it is.
What, does Andrew Dice Clay sing this?
Jingety jing! Hickory dickory jingety jing.
I really
this
never
isn't
heard
offensive
this.
To you as an Italian American?
No.
All right.
I'm not offended.
What if he was trying to convince the donkey to stay overnight?
Then I'd be offended.
That would be
I gotta be honest
for everybody.
You're making an ass out of yourself.
It doesn't take much work. It just happens automatically. So your advice to these stations that are on the fence, like I said,
play
the station
the
in Cleveland.
Song.
I'll read you this story. This happened over the weekend in Cleveland. I really can't stay in Tone's one half of the Baby It's Cold Outside duet, and it seems one Cleveland radio station agrees with the sentiment. WDOK, Christmas Music 102. Are they on all year? That's just got to be seasonal, right?
It has to be.
In Cleveland, Ohio, pulled the song from its 24-hour Christmas rotation this week, citing listener complaints, according to local Fox 8 News. The song, which was first penned, as you mentioned, Wendy, by Frank Loesser back in 1944, is a duet for him to sing with his wife at parties. Interesting. Loesser later sold the song to MGM for use in 1949's Neptune's Daughter, in which the song plays seriously between Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban.
Fine Corinthian leather.
I had no idea he was involved.
I didn't either.
Were they in the water at the time?
Yes. Esther Williams was always in the water, Steve. She's in the new Aquaman movie coming out in a few weeks.
She should have a cameo. There's Aquaman should be wearing a little button with her on it. There is a
Aquafina should be in it too.
Yes,
why
I
isn't
agree.
She an Aquaman?
There is a lyric, say what's in this drink.
Oh,
that's kind of weird.
That's very weird.
But you know.
That's
okay. That changes my opinion.
The neighbors might think, baby, it's bad out there. Say, what's in this drink? No cabs to be had out
there.
That's
the first roofie ever in A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. All right.
Up on the roofie top. That's the other one. There's two versions.
Jingity jing.
Jingity jing. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. Steve has the news. And then there's a lot more show.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
He is an excitable boy. He's our excitable boy. He is David Hochberg, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L Mortgage, Inc.
And some say the next coach of the Chicago Bulls. Is that possible, David?
I was talking with the chairman earlier today on the way down.
Yeah.
And
we'll see what happens.
Breaking news might be coming.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
You sure have the enthusiasm for it.
Can't do any worse than what this guy did for $25 million for 5 years. For the love of God, give me 12 and a half, and I'll give you five wins. What the hell's going on here? I know nothing about basketball. Guys in a bunch of tall guys in short pants and a ball. How tough can it be? All five right. games, for the love of God. Give me $5 million. Give me $3 million, and I'll give you five wins.
And there he goes.
I love it.
We're off to the races.
Proud season ticket holder, too, watching that crap out on the course, on the court.
I want to ask you something.
Happy holidays.
Holidays are coming up, whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah.
Well, if you're a Jewish
Kwanzaa.
Like me and Bill, it's mm-hmm. now.
It's already happening.
It started last night.
Yes.
We started burning candles. Eight days. Yeah. Happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends out there. Mm-hmm.
Is this a good time to buy a house? Because most people would think, oh, we'll just wait till the beginning of the year.
This is what I tell people. If you have a solid job, you have good reserves, you have good credit, and some people not so much good credit, but you have enough credit to afford a home, to secure a mortgage. You know, leases are coming up for some people. Why? It's always a good time to buy a house if you can afford to buy a house. Home values have slipped a little bit due to increase in the interest rates. And also, the job market around here is still good. So people are getting more money, are getting hired. So is it a good time? Sure, there's still houses for sale. And that means that people want to move and that those people theoretically are going to buy something else, maybe not in this state. But it's always a good time to buy if you have decent enough credit to secure a mortgage, a down payment, emergency fund, and could secure a mortgage.
They used to tell us there was a year where my wife and I were house hunting during the holidays, and
Super
the real
Bowl.
Estate agent would always say,
wait till the
now keep
Bowl.
In mind that there won't be a tree in here. The room is a lot smaller because there's a tree in here.
Right.
You know?
Try
so
to visualize
your imagination.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
really?
Now they're staging everything now.
Right.
Right.
To make it look more.
Right. More of a home.
Yep.
And then you got to be careful because some people, you know, you bring a Jewish couple in there and they might not like to see a tree, or you bring somebody who's.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So you just listen. What real estate agents will tell you back in the day, I thought you were going another direction. Oh, it all dies down around Thanksgiving and it picks up around the Super Bowl. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Okay. That about 3 years ago, around 2013, I had realtors. I was in my office at my home doing pre-approval letters when we got 18 inches of snow that Super Bowl. Remember we got the blizzard that one year?
Yeah.
I had people out there calling me. I was watching the Super Bowl in my office, trying to get people approved for loans while they were out shopping.
Really?
So this notion about, oh, it slows down around the holidays. Here, tell you what. You want to buy a home? Now's a perfect time to buy a home, right?
Yep.
Tomorrow's a perfect time to buy a home. Next week's a perfect time to buy a home if you're ready to buy a home.
It's always a good time. And let us not forget the end of Miracle on 34th Street when Santa Claus leaves little Natalie Wood the house there.
Sure.
You know?
I haven't seen that show.
Wasn't she beautiful?
Stunning. Gorgeous. Yeah.
I mean, as a little girl, as an adult,
Heart
just beautiful.
Heart, one of my favorite shows growing up.
She wasn't
on
that.
She was not in Heart to Heart.
That
was
Stephanie
show.
Powers.
Yeah, whatever her name was. What was the other one that she was with the guy in the...
Well, she was with Natalie Wood's ex-husband, right?
Yeah, Stephanie Powers was with Robert Wagner.
Oh, maybe that's where I got that one.
Yeah, that's all right.
That was a great show, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Didn't they have a fling then, too, Heart to Heart? Didn't it become real?
It could be. I don't know.
All right. All right, so you want to talk about confirming loan amounts.
Confirming loan limits were the Federal Housing Finance Authority, also known as to Bill FHFA, which I know you're huge with the acronyms.
Yes. FHFA
just increased conforming loan limits.
Federal Housing Authority is
Federal Housing Finance Authority.
They sang "Take on Me." In
they do.
1980s.
Yes, right. Boy George led that charge.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, you both are just not connecting today,
which is good. So conforming loan limits right now to get a Fannie Mae Freddie Mac loan, today the conforming loan limit for 2018 has been $453,100. That means that you could purchase a $467,113 home and only put 3% down to secure...
3%?
Yeah, to secure a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan.
Yeah.
Next year, it's going up $30,000 to $484,350, which means you could buy a $499,329 home with a minimum of 3% down and secure a Fannie Mae loan. FHA typically waits about a week or two to announce what their new loan limits are. And what does this mean to your borrowers? We just talked to a gentleman on the way down. I talked to one of my loan officers, Cindy Piazza, on the way down. We're talking to an individual who has a $200,000 first loan. He has $200,000. He has a $280,000 first loan. He has $200,000 in student loans that are coming off a deferment, and he has a line of credit, about a $75,000 line of credit. He wants to roll it all into one loan and consolidate the payment. Okay, well, if the conforming loan amounts didn't come out before, we had a little bit of a challenge because it would have been a little left over. But 284 is what he owes. He owes 200,000 student loans. Boom, we're at 484. We're basically now we could combine both loans because Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac has a program that you could roll your student loans into your mortgage and not be considered a cash out transaction, which is huge because it saves this individual about 3/8 of a point in the interest rate.
When did that start where you could roll into
about a year ago?
Because that seems new to me.
It is new. About a year. I can't give you the exact date, but about a year ago they came out. It's one of the smartest things they've done, right? They've done a lot of dumb things, but it's one of the smartest things that they've done. And so what we're going to be able to do with this individual is take his first loan, 284, his student loans, 200,000, that are coming off a deferment. The payment's going to be $3,000 in about 90 days. Put it all into one payment. His payment's going to be the same as what he's going to pay right now. What he's paying, and then we're going to take out a home equity line of credit to make up the difference to pay off his existing line of credit. So all of the things that these larger loan amounts are going to enable homeowners to do is pay off more debt, secure more unsecured debt like student loans that are coming due, like home equity line of credits that are expiring. It's opening up in the lending spectrum for people, which is great. Great things.
Explain again, if you wouldn't mind, who exactly is eligible for this.
Anybody who has a home. Anybody who has a home that has a loan amount under right now, we are currently locking those loans. We are securing rates for those loans. We cannot close those loans until January 1 of 2019. Mm-hmm. But those loans are available to begin locking in and securing the rate. So who's available for that? Anybody looking to buy a home closing in January that would have had to get a jumbo loan amount, which typically has 3/8 to a half or 3/4 of a point higher in the interest rate. These Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac conforming loan amounts will enable them to secure a much lower rate and get in with a much smaller down payment, which is huge for the market.
And it's not just for first-time buyers. There's no restrictions like that.
Out there, even you.
Even me.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good because there are a lot of restrictions around you securing a loan. Yes, but there's a... But there are out there for people to secure if you want to buy a home. And here's another thing. Yeah, I know it's holiday time, it's Hanukkah and all that stuff. This is what we want to, I just want to throw out to your listeners. There's a lot of people who, a lot of listeners that either are having challenges, credit challenges, and don't know what to do, or they have people in their family that are having credit challenges and don't know what to do. We've had a program for the past year now that I just want to stress at holiday time, because a lot of people get worthless, ridiculous crap that they keep in their closet and never use. You know, my wife, I love her dearly, but she got me this charger for my phone that I plug in and that, you know, speed charge and everything else. She's like, oh, look, you get to put it on your desk and a charge, you can watch. I go, great, I already have one. All right, so, you know, that didn't go over too good yesterday, the first night of Hanukkah. she's like, open. I'm like, don't open it. I got one on my desk. You know, she doesn't go in my office much. But this is a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift of good credit, and it enables people to buy homes. It enables people to get out of your basement. It enables people to purchase a home and save tens of thousands of dollars on interest payments. And that is the gift of credit enhancement this holiday season. And I work with an individual. His name is Gary Novell. I make absolutely nothing if you use Gary, but he's the best that I know in the business. I've known Gary for close to 18 years. Okay. Gary Novell, here's his number, 630-624-9557. For $350 for a single individual, Gary Novell will help you scrape the barnacles off your bow of the bad stuff that you have on your credit report, and $600 for couples. Okay, you have to make the investment with Gary, because before we used to do this credit and enhancement challenge, you know, the biggest winner, and we'd have 400 people apply, and then 390 of them would disappear, and then we'd be chasing after all these people. We're not doing that anymore, right? If you want help, go to Gary, invest in yourself. $350 for singles, $600 for couples. Gary will enhance your credit if you do everything that Gary tells you to do. There's a realtor in Florida who I'm friends with whose son had student loans on his credit report that the father took out in his name. Father blew off the student loan payments, destroyed the kid. Okay? I hear these things all the time. It's taken Gary about 2 months. He's gotten two of the credit reporting agencies to remove all of the late mortgage payments, all of the late credit report, all the late student loan payments off the report. There's one person left. We are closing on this individual's house because he was able to get two of the three by the end of December with the help of his fiance, mm-hmm. because of the work that Gary did. You could sit there and bang your head against the wall at all you want trying to get your credit enhanced, but I'm telling you, Gary Novell is the best in the business. $350 for singles, $600 for couples. And here's the best part. When Gary enhances your credit and you're in position to refinance, because some people can't refinance because their credit's all messed up, you come to Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. There's 120 loan officers at Pearl Mortgage. There's 12 of them on Team Hochberg. If one of the Team Hochberg loan officers at Pearl Mortgage originates your loan, we will credit that investment that you made to enhance your credit back to you.
So it's like a free credit enhancement.
It's a free credit enhancement, but you have to be willing to invest in yourself and invest in the couple. So if you've got a family member who has credit challenge and wants that, and wants the recipe and the medicine to get better, Gary will help it.
Give the number again.
630-624-9557. Gary Novell, the credit enhancement expert.
All right. More with David Hochberg in just a little bit.
That guy talks fast,
Wendy.
David Hochberg comes pretty close. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and David Hochberg, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L. David, what's the best way for people to contact you? There you go.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's the best way. Or you go to WGNDavid.com as well.
All right. How can you recommend some things to help us save some money over the holidays?
Sure. The easiest thing that people can do, it might not be for you, it might be for your friends, family, coworkers, and neighbor. If you live in the ComEd service area, which means if you get a ComEd bill, okay, they have amazing opportunities for people to reduce their electric bill and also get their home winterized.
How do I do this?
You just go to ComEd.com.
Do you know, I get that little postcard. It's not a postcard anymore. It's an actual letter. And it's like, you're using 65% more energy than all of your neighbors, than the whole town.
They offer, people don't know, ComEd is the only company that I know that wants you to use less of their product. And they have the commercials. Oh, you get $50. I found $5 in my pocket. Oh, you take the refrigerator out. That's great. Right. And I'm not knocking that commercial because people have refrigerators in the basements or garages that are 20, 30 years old, sucking energy. They'll come pick it up and give you $25, $50, whatever it is. But they will also, for every ComEd service provider, that every ComEd service customer, industrial, for commercial as well, and residential, they went through PermaSeal. Roy Spencer had them out through PermaSeal in Downers Grove at his old facility. It saved them thousands of dollars with all the different techniques that they put in. Dimmer lights when you walk in, changing out the light bulbs. They'll change out your light bulbs for free in your home.
What?
Yes, I'm telling you. And those light bulbs are $2-3 a piece.
Yeah.
So if you get a ComEd bill, you go to ComEd.com. And you type in energy efficiency, right? Yeah. There is it'll take you to a bunch of places on the website. You could call up right now if you are in a residential or commercial property, and they will come out. They have energy doctors, they call them. I believe there's four of them.
Uh-huh.
And I've had them on my show on another station. They're all phenomenal. They're great. They're very intelligent. They know what to do. They will come in and they will do an energy audit on your home and your business for absolutely no cost.
What do they have to gain from this?
Because they have a mandate part of their mandate is for you to use less energy so it keeps their grids more efficient for them. They want you to use less energy. If you notice the snowstorm last Monday, right? You notice how all the lights, okay, all the stoplights, you couldn't see the stoplight because they changed all the light bulbs out in behind the stoplights. They're now LED light bulbs. And they don't burn as hot. Right,
yeah.
So that's why the snow wasn't melting. Okay? They do the same thing in your house. They'll come in.
Wait, is that a... I don't think that's a good thing, though. Is that...
Well, it's a bad thing if you're trying to go to an intersection and you can't
see. But it's saving energy.
But it's saving energy. You know, people are probably dying, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, but for what time? We don't get snow that often.
Let's not dial down so much, Bill.
I couldn't figure out what was going on every time I came to an intersection.
Mr. Micro, look at the macro. We're saving energy.
If it was a red light or a green light.
Okay, you know, it's thinning the herd. So here's the deal. If you have a home, one of my realtors, okay, John and Beth Gary, that we do business with, bought a home, brought ComEd in there. Changed out over 30 light bulbs for them, put in all these energy efficiency, went into their shower, didn't take a shower with
them.
That's weird. All of a sudden, a ComEd guy walked into
that.
My shower.
You said there was a mandate, but I didn't know what you were talking about.
That's some great service by ComEd. No, but they replaced the shower head so they use less water.
Yeah.
So they basically made their home energy efficiency for nothing. It was free. So this is a huge benefit. One other thing is, other than the credit enhancement special that we talked about, 630-624-9557 for all your listeners out there, Roy Spencer created, has he been in here to talk about the Basement Defender?
No.
I put one on my house. A lot of your listeners will be bugging out for the winter, going to another state to be snowbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And before they leave, some of them will come home with flooded basements.
Hmm.
Okay,
I got to get this thing.
It's called. I have it in my house. It's called the Basement Flood Defender. And they put it on. What it does is it cycles your sump pump every single day. It tests it for you.
Because Roy came to our house and said you're supposed to check your sump
pump every day.
I'm like,
what?
Every day?
Well, this does it automatically.
I know.
This does it automatically. And, you know, there is a cost to it. There's a monthly fee to it and everything else. I have one in my house after what? My basement flooded.
Oh.
Okay. So I wish I had it before. But now that I have it, but a lot of people going away should give PermaSeal a call, okay, 1-800-421-SEAL, and talk to them about the Basement Flood Protector and what they, I think it's the Basement Flood Defender. He calls it the Defender. I apologize, Roy and Laura Ann. It's called the Defender, and it protects people that go on vacation or people that live in a house, especially when it's really rain and everything like that. Snow, we got snow Monday. It all melted. It went down to the sump pumps. It's a great tool. So that's and another thing, take a look at refinancing. Rates have slipped back a little bit since they peaked in November, and it's still a great time if you have a lot of debt. People are out there just loading up their credit cards.
Sure.
And it's always cheaper in most instances instead of paying 18 to 30% on your credit cards, because the minimum monthly payment on the credit card bills is 4% minimum monthly payments. It's a lot cheaper to roll it in to your mortgage.
So David, if people want to reach you for whatever reason,
312-751-1333. You go to WGNDavid.com, and I'll be part of the WGN. Thank you to you for writing me in the WGN extravaganza
next
Friday.
The big Christmas show.
Yeah, I'm doing stretching and my vocal cords are extending out. It'll be great.
The show rests on your shoulders, sir.
I can handle it. Bring it.
All right, that's David Hochberg, the excitable boy.
All right, and coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Steve, thanks. In a half an hour, Eric Zorn will join us from the Chicago Tribune.
And why don't you tell people? Isn't that his last appearance with us?
For this year, for 2018, it'll
Does
be
he
the
know
last
this?
Time. I don't want to tell him, Wendy. It'll crush him.
Let's tell him.
He's very emotional.
After he finishes his segment.
Yeah, when he's
today.
Done, you can just slide it in, but I don't want to upset Eric Zorn. You know who? In addition to our former president, George Bush, dying over the weekend, we also lost song and dance man Ken Berry.
Do you know how much I loved that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Very likable man.
He was just sweet looking and seemed so friendly and quite talented.
Now, can I tell you a weird side story about just that, exactly that? Ken Berry is everything you just described. People would know him from several different places. He was the lead on F Troop.
I loved that show.
When Andy Griffith decided that he didn't want to do the Andy Griffith show anymore, they moved him in. The show became Mayberry RFD with almost everybody in the cast intact.
Great, great show.
Yeah, wasn't it?
I used to love watching RFD.
Yeah. And Ken Berry was then the new sheriff of Mayberry. Much like Andy Griffith's character, Andy Taylor, He was also a widower, much like Sheriff Taylor. He also had a young son. It was amazing. They didn't.
Named
they didn't
Opie
want to mess.
Right,
Opie, and then the Roman numeral too.
Yes,
yeah. Actually, his son on the show was an actor named Buddy Foster, who is probably best known for being the brother of Jodie Foster.
I did not know that.
And he wrote a horrible book about his sister at some point. You and I had him on at Q101. Do you remember that?
Nope. Yeah. I don't remember anything we've done together.
It's called, the name of the title was, it was
oh,
A Horrible Book About My Sister Jodie Foster.
That's not the title of it.
Something
but
like
I
that.
Do remember that, actually.
Yeah. He was not a fan of his own sister. Anyway, listen to this. Ken Berry agreed.
He was on Mama's Family,
too. Mama's Family.
Which I hardly ever watched on a regular basis.
He was a regular visitor to the Carol Burnett Show almost every season. He was one of the guest stars on the Carol Burnett Show because he was a very talented
beautiful
singer,
blue
dancer.
Eyes.
Yeah, very
he was
youthful
very handsome.
Looking.
Yes, you're right.
He also on the Brady Bunch. I don't know if you remember this, but they tried to do a spinoff on an episode of the Brady Bunch about a family that adopted an Asian son. An African-American son and a white son.
No.
The white son was played by Mike Lookinland, Bobby Brady's younger brother in real life.
Who was the other Lookinland?
Todd Lookinland was his brother, his younger brother.
Only you. I mean, really?
I'm 99.8% sure I'm right.
What a crazy last name,
but I think it's
too.
Todd. The Lookinlands?
Mm-hmm.
So, so they did, what they tried to do on an episode of the Brady Bunch was show this new family that were friends and neighbors of the Bradys. Although, what kind of friend and neighbor are you if you only show up in one episode? I want a friend that's there whenever,
yeah.
I need, not just one spinoff episode. So that show didn't go through, sadly. But Ken Berry would have been the father on that show had it gone through. All right, so here's the reason I bring this up, other than the fact that we lost Ken Berry. Anytime Ken Berry was on TV in my house, my mom would look the other way. So if Ken Berry showed up, like I remember on a Saturday on the Carol Burnett Show, she'd say, here's my special guest, Ken Berry. And he would come out with a cane and a hat and stuff. And my mom would go, ugh. And she would just look the other way. And at some point we said to her, we've noticed that every time Ken Berry's on TV, you're visibly upset. You're not happy with the idea that Ken, and she goes, I don't want to talk about it.
She seems
she'd be in my mom's wheelhouse.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
My mom was a dance teacher, so you'd say to yourself, who would enjoy the magic that is Ken Berry more than my mom?
Thank you.
Right? Here's the backstory on that, and it took us years to get this out of my mom. Evidently, Ken Berry is from here, or Moline, I think, originally. I'm pretty sure he's from Moline. So he studied dance with friends of my mom's, and my mom's story was that he was always rude to them, to these women that studied dance with Ken Berry. Horribly, horribly rude. And my mom held that way against Ken Berry to the point wherever whenever he would show up on TV, she either wouldn't watch, she would turn the other way, or she would make that ugh noise like that. Did not enjoy him at all.
You take
I don't
after
even
your...
know if it's true. I have no idea if that's true. I'm getting it. It's not first-hand information. It's not second-hand. It's like third or fourth-hand information that some dance studio in Moline in 1953, there was some kind of a dust-up between Ken Berry and two of the women who worked there.
So she shunned him ever
forever.
Since. Forever. You get that from your mom.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
The craziest things, but
yes,
that
I
mean
do.
The most to you.
I'll hold a grudge.
I know.
That's enough for me to hold a grudge, too.
That is bizarre. Just because he was mean to some other dance instructors?
Yeah. She and I used to say to her, I go, well, were you there maybe? I go, I'm not taking Ken Berry's side in this, which was a sentence I said all the time as a child. I can't tell you how many things would happen where I'd go, Mom, Dad, I'm not taking Ken Berry's side in this, but, and then I would say something. But my mom, just on hearsay from these other dance teachers in and around Moline, Illinois, my mom would have nothing to do with Ken Berry whatsoever.
So she stood strong with the dance community.
Always.
That's
this
a
and any
weird
other
story.
Isn't that weird? That's the first thing when I found out he died. That's the first thing I'm like, well, wherever my mom is right now, she's not that upset. You know, wherever my mom is, she's like, well, the guy had it coming. Being mean to dance teachers in Moline. That's what it'll get you.
He was pretty talented.
Don't tell my mom that.
I won't. 85 years old.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time he showed up on anything. Like, a lot of times when somebody passes away, you go, oh, yeah, I just saw him on an episode or something 4 years ago. When was the last time you saw Ken Berry in anything? It's been forever, right?
It has been a long time.
A long time.
Did you look it up?
No, I've been busy all weekend calling dance studios in Moline to see if that story's true or not. That's what I did all year. All weekend, I'm sorry.
He always had like what looked like a white styrofoam hat on, a flat top.
Right, like a barbershop quartet
would wear. Yes, yes.
And it's not possible that he always had that on, but for some reason, I see that on him too.
He was in the new Batman Adventures in 1997, and then something called Maggie Winters, a show, a TV series in 1999. He hasn't done anything since.
Oh, that's been it.
He was in Small Wonder. That was a dumb show. Do you remember that show?
That was a kid's show, yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what the premise was.
There was a robot.
Oh, right. Yeah,
Father
yeah,
Ted
yeah.
Lawson creates a robot. The family, Ted, Joan, and Jamie.
It was a little girl who was a robot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vicky, V-I-C-I.
Yeah. I hope they bring that show back. I know there's been a lot of success with Will and Grace. I hope they bring Small Wonder back.
You never
know. That would be great. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder and it's WGN. Couple things before we get to Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Number one, they just showed a video of Ken Berry. I'm going to guess sometime in the late 70s.
What gave it away? The bright orange outfit?
He was wearing a bright orange suit, which I think in the 70s, like, you could see every once in a while and not even think about it. But by today's standards, when you see a guy who looks like David S. Pumpkins in a bright orange suit, you start to worry. But, yeah, he'll be greatly missed by the world, except for my mom.
Although someone says, Bill, Ken Berry's going to be standing at the pearly gates welcoming your mom with, I was not rude. They were rude to me.
That's possible.
And somebody at first, I thought you were talking about the White Sox 1960s center fielder.
Oh, yeah,
fielder,
they had a guy
Ken
named
Berry.
Ken Berry. They did. The White Sox had an outfielder. I forgot about
and
that.
And I was thinking, how does your mom know the center fielder on the White Sox, and why does she hate him?
Long story, and Minnie Minos is in the middle of it. That's all I'm going to say.
He's always in the middle of it.
I refuse to say any more than that. Have you fallen for that commercial on Channel 2 where they're doing a special report? It's a commercial for an investigative Channel 2 service where they show you a gingerbread house, and they say, this holiday season, you have to look behind what's in the gingerbread house, and they make it look like if you have a gingerbread house, something horrible is going to happen. Like, it could start on fire, or there could be a radon leak. The first time I saw this, I've seen it twice.
Is this a special report?
It looks like it is, but then at some point, they cop to the fact that it's a fake special report.
Oh.
And that Channel 2 is wishing you and yours a very happy holiday season. But I fell for it the first time, and then it aired again on Saturday. I don't remember what I was watching Saturday, but I fell for it a second time. That's how good it is. Keep your eye open for it. It's really funny.
I will be looking for that.
Also, this headline. Sometimes I read a story, and I remember when The Onion was a printed newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and how their headlines were ridiculous enough to where you go, oh, that might be real, it might not be real. Boy inspired by Christmas Story puts his tongue on frozen pole.
I heard this this morning.
You already know this story?
And a friend helped out and called officials.
Yes. An 11-year-old Northern Illinois boy couldn't resist testing the theory that when you apply your tongue to a frozen metal pole, it will stick. Now, I have to admit, as ridiculous as this sounds, and I did this long before Christmas Story, I did this when I was in grade school because there was a rumor of this. Now, this was before Christmas Story made it famous. I didn't do it outside, but I did it on my freezer. There was a frozen section where the ice cubes stayed, and it was all iced up. So I did put my tongue on it to see what would happen. And even though it was a strange, tingly sensation, it did not stick.
My brother did this, and he's older than us, so he did it even before you.
Yeah.
And he did it on the wrought iron railing in the very front of our house.
Oh, nice.
And
stick or no stick?
It got stuck.
It did stick?
An ant.
Ant?
My mom's sister just pretty much ripped it off.
No.
From my understanding.
Was there bloodshed?
I don't know that it was that bad, but it definitely stuck. And somebody asked him why he did it, and he said, because it was glistening, and it, yeah. I just wanted to lick it.
It's hard to say no. Right. I get it. Do you get it? I get it.
Yes, because, I mean, like, you're there's curious. Snow and icicles. I'm sorry. I used to enjoy a good icicle.
Yeah.
And now I'm scared to because I don't know what kind of pollution is right. inside of them. But, right. you know, you'd crack off an icicle from a branch.
And have a snack.
That was some good, nature-made snack. Yep.
Good tasting and good for you. Spencer Klein found out the hard way that it does hurt a lot. He recently told the Aurora Beacon News that his inspiration came just from where you'd expect, the movie Christmas Story, where one friend dares another friend to put his tongue on a frozen pole. That would be, what was the boy's name? Not Glick. Something like that, right? Flick? It's Flick.
Flick.
Flick. The Sandwich Middle School student was with a friend, but the friend didn't dare him. As his tongue stuck, Klein panicked, struggling to communicate.
That's what it would sound like.
He was no longer joking
help.
Around. Right, that sounds right.
Help!
The friend searched for hot water. Well, you're not going to find hot water
cold
outside.
Water should work better, actually.
Why would cold water work better?
Just any kind of water. Because it's not going to instantly freeze, any kind of water. Bunch of people said, I did this, it got stuck, pulled it off, and yes, it was bleeding, hurt for days.
Oh.
My tongue stuck to a fudgesicle as a kid.
Really?
My tongue stuck to a park pole, and when I pulled it off, it bled so bad, and a piece of my tongue was stuck to the pole. I think that happened to my brother, actually.
That's not pleasant. That's not pleasant at all. The friend searched for hot water, which you will not find outside. There's never going to be a time where you're just walking around outside and you'll find a kettle of hot water. That doesn't happen.
You'll never find it in your house unless you microwave
right,
you it.
Right, that's true. His friend then called an ambulance. Klein managed to pry away his aching tongue in the interim. His sensation was that half of his tongue stayed on the pole. Ooh. He was treated and released. He and his tongue are expected to make a full recovery. Not if half of it's on the pole. The tongue doesn't regenerate itself.
Well, it would heal.
Yeah, but he'd still be missing...
What about when you skinned your knee? Part of your skin was gone. It ultimately healed, didn't it? Is there a big scab on your tongue then? Do they put a Band-Aid on it? How did they do this?
I'm not sure that your tongue has the same recuperative processes, though, that your skin has.
Good word.
Processes?
Recuperative.
Oh. I don't know. I don't think your tongue is made of the same material. Like your skin does eventually, right? Your skin heals, but I don't know that your tongue. You can't. Once you're missing part of your tongue, you're missing part of your tongue. I think.
Bill, it's got to heal.
But not grow. I mean, heal. Yes, but you would still have heal. Yes, you still have like a. You would still have part of your tongue would still be missing, wouldn't it? Like the whole thing wouldn't just regenerate. I don't think. I can't imagine that being the case.
I don't know. These callers should, they texted us to say that they left part of their tongue on the railing. Tell us if it comes
back. Yeah, we
want
to know if it grew back. How long does that take?
But your mouth heals so quickly. Did you ever bite your tongue or the inside of your cheek? And then it unfortunately, you keep hitting that same spot whenever you eat anything.
Yeah.
But ultimately, your mouth heals so unbelievably quick.
Or if you burn part of it, like if you're eating really hot pizza and you burn part of it. Yeah, within a day, it's like it never happened. But I don't think, if you lose half of your tongue on a frozen pole, I think you say goodbye to it. I would imagine.
Bye-bye, tongue.
Just like that. Just exactly like that, yes.
All right,
I'm guessing.
Real quickly here, Dave. Dave's daughter had an incident. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Wendy. How you doing, Bill? Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Dave. What do you know about this?
When my daughter was 3 years old, we lived in an apartment, and we had an old refrigerator freezer. The freezer was in the inside and had a like an aluminum box and its own door. And my little daughter, she's 3 years old. Her mother were home at the time. She decided that she wanted this case with the frost looked like I'm at aluminum.
Oh.
So she got up in that refrigerator, the door open, climbed up on the bottom step, touched her tongue to the aluminum, and got stuck. My wife, hearing odd cries, because of course the kid can't scream, goes running into the kitchen, grabs her by the armpits, and pulls her right
out
of that frozen spot where little bits of taste bud and tongue flesh were stuck for a couple of days.
Oh.
And yes, my daughter did heal.
completely? Like her taste buds are back in working order and her tongue is 100%?
Yeah, within just a couple of weeks, you wouldn't even have known that she did it.
Wow.
Somebody has just texted, the skin grows back over your tongue, at least mine did. It takes a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a mucous membrane, and it will grow back just like skin does.
Oh, all right.
And Dave, someone else mentioned, do you remember those metal ice trays? Because I remember those, too.
Very well.
I don't know why you had to lick them, but boy, did you.
Oh, yeah. The frost. It looked like a popsicle.
What is wrong with us?
People are just
That's
crazy.
Pretty. Let's lick it.
Yeah.
Right. Have a good day, you guys.
Thanks so Thanks. Much, Dave. Glad your daughter's
it's
all right.
The same thing with if you had a Super Bowl as a kid, right?
Yeah.
You at some point you bit it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Everyone does. But you know what it's going to taste like rubber.
I know, but you want to think if you want to find out if you can bite through it. And I had, like, you know, they had the clear ones with all the goofy stuff inside, like
Sometimes
either sparkle.
Speckles. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I loved Super Bowls. I mean, look at the toys that are out there now. Why did we even like a Super Bowl?
I don't know. Hours of entertainment, though. And, as we mentioned, tasty. So good. Mmm, good. All right, we'll take a break. We've got news coming next, and then after the news, Eric Zorn will stop by. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Wendy has bad news for you, Eric Zorn.
All right, first of all, stop it. Second of all, we were going to wait till after the segment
was
over.
We'll tell you later. It's bad. It's sad news for you.
This is like radio teasing, isn't it? Like, there's actually nothing.
It's not like radio teasing.
You just want people to sit in their cars.
It is radio teasing.
In the driveway waiting for the bad news.
And then
you're going to go, up. Oh, they got to go to the news, and then all of a sudden.
I'm just getting it. I can't stand it. I'm just getting it out of the way.
Go on, tell them.
Bill is a person who likes to keep track of goofy things, like, you know, how many times you said hello over the course of the last 6 years. He keeps track of these things. So he comes in today and he goes, do you realize this is the last Monday Eric is going to be with us until the new year? Because we're on vacation.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
We're off next Monday.
Yeah.
And then the 17th, we start.
We're closed for inventory.
And then it's Christmas and it's New Year's.
We won't see you again. And then next year, like in January, the first show of the year with you won't be until like the 8th or something, because I think New Year's is on a Monday, right?
My goodness.
Well, so, New Year's Eve is Monday, then New Year's Day is Tuesday. We come back to work Wednesday, and so then we see you January 7th.
That's the next time we'll have you on.
Well, that's too bad, because I like to use this show to promote my year-end predictions.
Like, oh.
I try to you know, put forth...
Yeah,
a list of questions that have people, and then I like to review those predictions.
Yes.
Oh boy!
So there's this whole thing that I had planned. I had canceled some vacations and stuff. So this is really
this
bad.
This is all horrible.
But I guess, you know, I can email to you and you can direct people to my questionnaire. And then maybe when I come back in January, we can look at what people are predicting and how they did last
all right.
time. So we'll just do the whole 3 hours.
That's fine. All right.
Since we're off on Monday, does he want to come in next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday?
I'd be fine with that.
I could be.
Whatever day you want.
Let's work that out.
All right, let's do that.
I am a problem solver. That's what I do.
Find yourself problems.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, we'll figure that out. All right.
See, it's not that bad. He made it sound like it was something.
I think it's bad.
I think it's really bad.
You canceled a vacation.
I'm really glad. Oh, yeah, sure, of course. And it was, it was to see my kids. And that's okay. And
you love your kids.
You know, and, yeah,
you're the greatest father in all the land.
I was. Until I canceled my vacation for a radio gig.
Got to change the song lyrics now.
Now the song's
going
to be rewritten and
that's
everything.
Sad. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. But let's do that next week. We'll bring you whatever day is good for you.
Okay. We'll figure something out.
I mean, we're booked all day Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday we got that thing, and then Friday's the Christmas show. But we'll figure something out.
So everyone's really busy. Yeah. But next time I come in, I'm going to read the greatest tweets from December.
Yes.
But what I can do next week... is read you the greatest Christmas tweets of all time.
You want to do that?
I do have those.
All right.
And that'll be ready
That's
next week,
fine.
Too. Because there's some great Christmas tweets.
I bet.
But you want to hear the best tweets from November?
I would love
you
to.
You know, regular listeners know that every week I conduct a reader poll. I find the funniest things on Twitter, and the readers vote on them. And then at the end of the month, I come on Bill and Wendy, and I read the I consider to be the ten best.
Yes,
And people are really funny on Twitter. I think.
Oh yeah,
it's really pretty great. Yep. Here are the top 10, in my opinion,
in no particular order.
In actually no particular order. Yes. Right. And I've posted them online, and I know the Jasmine's going to link off your show page to the actual list. It'll be online. That'll have the attributions, because when I attribute them, it throws off my rhythm.
Yes. Yep, I got you.
Am I prolonging this enough?
Yeah, just enough amount of time.
I mean, you guys are such good teasers. I thought this was pretty good. Anyway, call me a hoarder all you want, but there's over 700 hours of free AOL on these discs. Vegans think they will live longer than us, but they don't realize that they are 100 times more likely to be murdered mid-conversation. And this is one you have to, like, think about.
All right. Thank you for the warning,
by the way. I know. The other ones you don't have to think about. This is what you do.
All right.
I, for one, am a great fan of Roman numeral puns.
Ah, I get it.
Get it?
I, for one.
Yes.
Very nice. Very
good. That was real. That's clever.
It's not like a laugh out loud one, but it's very clever. And it actually won the tweet of the week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
A lot of Roman listeners, I bet.
Well, a lot of Latin speakers. My mother-in-law likes me so much, she asked if I would take the family photo this year.
That one also involves some thinking.
Some thinking, yes.
Just some.
This is maybe the longest tweet that's ever made my list here. I often stand naked in front of a full-length mirror, studying myself to better come to terms with my imperfections. It's not an easy thing to do, though, and quite frankly, I feel IKEA security could be a little more supportive. It would be so satisfying if I found out Enya's last name is Face.
Enya Face.
Calm down, everyone. Saudi Arabia just murdered a journalist. It's not like they did anything really evil, like kneeling during a song. My dentist can do it all, from a simple cleaning to identifying my charred remains.
That one's morose and enjoyable at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please fasten your seatbelts. I want to try something. And the last one. I still can't believe that my senior class voted me least likely to let things go.
That's great.
That is good.
Enjoy that.
So those are the top 10 tweets for November.
Love them.
And they're on the ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn if you want to find out who wrote them.
So. We'll take a quick break and then more with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. That's coming up in just a little bit.
Don't go breaking my heart, please.
No.
Don't do it.
Eric Zorn is here. Heartbreaker from a long, long time ago. Works over at the Chicago Tribune. Eric, here's a word that's an important word, should. You have some very serious feelings about the word should.
I'm a recent convert to this. Apparently, people say that this is something that you hear, or life coaches will tell you, don't use the word should. Don't tell people what they should do. And a friend caught me telling her what she should be doing recently, and she. Well, told
can
me,
you be specific? What were you telling her?
It was Mary Schmeek, and I was telling her we have this the Songs of Good Cheer contest, and I said I've put these entries here. You should read them and get back to me.
Oh,
and she wrote back in a little note saying, basically, I will do things on my own timetable. She didn't quite say don't tell me what I should do, but it was implied in her response. And I started thinking about it. I realized, that was really an annoying way to put that. And I've been annoyed when I hear other people tell me what I should do. And I was trying to think.
It's a parental thing.
It sounds parental. And there's a way of saying something, you should listen to me on Bill and Wendy. Instead of saying, every week I have this great conversation with Bill and Wendy, I don't say you should check it out. I just mention that it's there. Right. Why not?
Casual suggestion.
You can make a suggestion without telling people what they should do. And in bringing this up, I realize that, in talking to other people about it, that there is this real strong sense. It's like a trigger word for some people being told what they should do, because it is, as Wendy says, it's almost like a parental word.
Yeah, it is.
It's one that you should go do your homework now. Yeah. Like, don't tell me what I should do. I'm a grown up.
But it's softer than saying do this. It's just a suggestion of you doing this. It's still problematic, but it's not as bad as just saying do this.
Well, and you know what hurts more? What? Should have.
Should have.
You should have done it this way. Right. That one stinks.
That says you were wrong. Yeah. Whatever you did was not the right way to do it.
Well, this puts me in a bit of a professional bind because what opinion writers do often, you know, we must, all decent people must adhere to my prescriptions for life. Mm-hmm. You know, and these words like ought to and should and must. These are words that opinion writers use all the time, and I'm not going to pull back necessarily from using those if I'm going to be addressing, you know, the governor or the mayor or something like that. I mean, because if you offer a gentle suggestion to a public official or to a bureaucrat or a big business, they'll ignore it. But if you're dealing with friends and with your family, to tell someone what they should do is just a bad idea. I'm wondering, you guys have this in your own lives where the things that you've pulled back from, where you realize that it's not necessarily what you want to have happen, but it's how you impart that to somebody. I think it's a really important.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm not a young man, and yet I'm just really realizing this that I've been probably saying this over the years.
Everybody does, though. It's part of the lexicon. It's just the way it's worded,
I guess. You know? But there is a sense, I think, that you have you want to maintain your own autonomy, right?
Right.
You want to, and so you don't mind suggestions, but the suggestions, it's really, you have to couch your suggestions in a more gentle way.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, it's so hard to be a human being now, isn't it?
But it's not like political correctness.
No.
Right? This is just more like, if you want someone...
It's tact.
It is tact. And so there's this sort of this general approach that you can have to people, which is like, rather than telling them what to do, you might mention something like, hey, a lot of people responding to my column today.
Right. Just saying.
Don't you speak to coworkers and other professionals differently than you do to your family members?
Probably, yeah. But I should probably be more tactful with my family members.
I totally should.
You really should, Wendy.
Because I should. That I'll give myself. Because, I mean, you know, if there's something that I want to, an idea I want to convey here at work, I'll think about it and word it in a way that doesn't offend anyone. But at home, it's just kind of like, why did you do that? You know, we don't put on airs at home, which is kind of good. We're all ourselves. But, you know, maybe we need to respect our family members a little more.
I think that's really true. I think that the one thing that happens at home is you'll use shorthand. Yeah, you'll just react, and rather than try to think, how can I say this in a way that is the most productive and doesn't get everybody's teeth on edge? You know,
right?
It's like, one other thing. I'm just reminded of this. I used to ask, like, if Johanna's making dinner, I would say, can I help?
Oh yeah,
I've changed. I realized the best thing to do is to say, how can I help? Right.
Do you watch New Amsterdam by any chance?
I don't. Why am I
this
channeling?
A plot line?
Yes, this guy who runs the whole hospital, he's the medical director, always says, how can I help?
How can I help? That's a very different question, I think, than can I help? Can I help? Suggest you were kind of hoping they'll say no.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm like, no. You know, when you're at a big Thanksgiving and you offer to help and they say yes, you go, darn it.
Right, you're right. But
so
how
you
can
say,
I help?
How can I help? And it just
that means I am going to help. You just point me in the direction of it.
Just point me in the direction, and it doesn't really allow for the answer of you can't help. I mean, people will say that. She'll say, get out of my kitchen or something like that. But in general, they say, how can I help? I think it really changes, and it's a small thing. And like I say, I mean, you don't say should, but you float an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a, you know, there's
subtle but effective
things that can really make things work more smoothly. You know?
So. We only have a couple minutes here, but I'm curious. We lost a former president over the weekend, George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts there?
Well, he was... In so many ways, the exemplar of how a public official should behave in terms of, like, policy wise, some things that he did, and I'm not going to say that he was a perfect man by any means, but that the way he dealt with people he disagreed with, the way he was able to befriend Bill Clinton, the way he was able to deal with a lot of the reporters that he dealt with, he had conflict with them, but he also was respectful of them. And there's an excellent piece that Maureen Dowd wrote, if you saw this in the New York Times, where she talked about how that they would actually correspond after he left office.
Oh, really?
And you know, she was very hard on 43, his son, and they were able to continue a correspondence and a conversation and respectfully. And that's what's really missing today. And Donald Trump is a, I think he's a symptom of it as much as he is a cause of the incivility that we all see now. And the way that he reacted, he had Dana Carvey, remember the Saturday Night Live comedian who used to mock him?
Yeah.
And he had him over to, I think he slept over at the White House. And this was this is the way this man realized that it was business.
You don't see Trump doing that with Alec Baldwin?
I mean, Trump takes everything personally. Trump hits back all the time. I don't think he deals with things well, obviously.
Yeah.
But you look at Bush, who, and like I said, wasn't like aligned with him politically.
Right.
It just seemed to me like he knew how to deal with this kind of inevitable conflict in politics in a way that was civilized and gentlemanly and so on. And you hope that maybe this will restore that. But you look at the tributes that were paid to John McCain and the tributes that are being paid to Bush 41.
Yeah.
And you realize that they talk about the fact that these guys fought hard. They were not weak or wimpy. But they also, at the end of the day, had respect for the people who disagree with them. And I feel like that is now missing.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of hoping that maybe this will begin a renaissance. I know you're looking at me like you're going crazy.
I'm not sure that's going to happen.
And I am crazy. It's not going to happen. But you know, you sort of... I don't think that that's necessarily over in American politics. I think that maybe we can come back to that. But we have to keep remembering that, you know, when you're dead and gone, people are going to remember you, and how they're going to remember you, and all the outpouring, so much of the outpouring about him has been about this.
Yes.
It's been about his presentation, his character, the way he dealt with people he disagreed with. And that is something I'm wondering what the obituaries are going to look like for Donald Trump, because I don't think they're going to be kind about the way he handled other people.
So. I know.
Depends who writes it.
Yep.
Right. Seriously.
If he writes it,
then
we're all right. That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll see you again next week, but not on Monday.
Next month.
All right, we'll figure it out. Thanks, Eric. We'll take a quick break and then close things off. The Wintrust Business Lunch is coming your way next.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.